This episode of Rax, Fur, and Feathers is brought to you by Red Bud Liquor at 3213 West Front Street in Buchanan, Michigan. The largest selection of liquor and craft beer in the area and the coldest beer in Bucktown.
Also, they are now selling hunting and fishing licenses, so stop in, see Greg, and pick yours up today. I'm Bert.
I'm Adam.
I'm Ray.
And this is the Rax, Fur, and Feathers Podcast. What's happening, everybody? Welcome back. Today's guest is one of the founders of Trolling with the Troops, and his name is Scott Mann. You might remember his name being mentioned in the Eric Beam episode. That's where we found out about him. So we reached out to have him on the show, and he didn't disappoint. He was an awesome guest. We talked about Trolling with the Troops, how you guys can get involved, what it is. Talked a little football, actually. Hunting squirrels from boats, bass fishing, and just fishing in general. We had a really fun time, and I think you guys are going to enjoy it. So please give it up for our friend, Scott Mann.
Not good for the bed.
Right.
I have a bunch of little dogs. I didn't want to hurt them.
Well, we're already recording, so I guess we can start easing on into it. So has anybody else bought a thermocell like I just did?
Yes.
Yeah, you have one?
I have one.
You had one already, or you just ordered one because of
had
the
one
encephalitis?
No, I actually had one for the last couple of years. And if you think bug spray is a pain in the ass, get a thermocell because they work. And I don't care how hard the wind's blowing. It doesn't really seem to matter. Crap. Speaking of Tiffany.
Right.
No, thermocells are sweet. Excuse me, just one second.
Hello. Wait, don't worry.
I found something that works that you wouldn't believe.
What's that?
You know those Seresto collars for dogs and cats?
Really?
Just put it around your wrist.
No.
Really?
Yep.
Not like a little flea collar type deal?
It's flea, tick, yes, mosquito, all of it. You just wrap it around your wrist.
Does it smell?
No, not really. I mean, it's got like a powder in there to keep it from like sticking to itself or whatever. But yeah, it's...
Really? That's impressive, because that was my big thing with a thermocell, because, you know, this whole encephalitis thing, you know, I've been out fishing towards dark and shit, so I'm like, we need to do something.
Yeah.
I've been thinking about buying one anyway because of hunting, because they're odorless, you know, and all that good shit, so I'm like, well, I thought they were like $50-$60, but it's pretty damn cheap, it's only like $30.
Yeah. $28 or $29,
I can turn your mic back up now.
And then you get the refills.
Yeah, and they're cheap as hell.
Yeah, like $12 for a refill.
Yeah. They'll last a long time.
I don't have any idea how long they last.
You'll find out. I think it's cheaper than buying a can of bug spray, and I think it's way more efficient as far as being unable to have your scent detected or whatever.
Well, and it may be less carcinogenic.
Yeah, I wouldn't go that far. I'm no official.
Well, you won't be getting bit by mosquitoes, which right now is pretty fucking dangerous in this area.
Well, and according to California, everything causes cancer, so it doesn't matter.
Exactly. Well, we all know California is the nation's leader in
bullshit,
topsy-turvy, dumb shit. Apologize to any non-liberal people listening in California right now to us, but...
And it's stay strong.
You know our pain.
It's Proposition 65. I said 30 or 35 earlier. I don't know if you ever cut that out of the episode or not, but I was incorrect.
It was incorrect?
65.
Okay. Well, I'm glad we cleared that up.
Yeah. California, the state where they ban legal trapping and then hire people government subsidized to come in and trap.
Yeah.
Makes perfect sense. Mm-hmm. Why would you want money from the general public to do the job that these people could do?
No, yeah, you just want the general public to pay for it.
Then let's go to D.C. and be like, oh, we screwed up our budget. Give us money. We're in a crisis. Wrong. Sorry. Fix your problem.
Right. It's a state problem, not a nation problem.
Yep.
So, how are the mosquitoes when you were out fixing your boat there, Mr. Scott?
Not bad. I actually spray around my house with permethrin.
It's
a chemical we use in the military to keep insects off of us.
Nice.
And it lasts about 3 months, even through the rain once it dries. Right. So
good to go.
Yeah, I spray around the doors, the windows. I've got a couple of spots that's standing water. So I just a little bit in there just to kill the larva. And... I mean, I still have like 5-10 I see at night.
You might not want to spray it on you, but...
Oh, I've got it on my lips and my mouth and my eyes. I've had it all over my skin. Just go in and drink some milk. Yeah, we'll be safe.
All right. So you want to tell us a little bit about yourself for our listeners? We were just out there talking for a good while about your military experience and all that, but
yeah, so fill them in. I joined the Marine Corps July of 97, and I did my 4 years. I went Okinawa, Pendleton, and Camp Lejeune. And then I got out. I was out maybe a month on terminal leave, and then 9/11 happened. And so I was like, I got to go back in. This is, you know, what I signed up to do.
Right.
Well, my family at the time I was married had a daughter. She was just turned a year old. She was right around a year old. And I was like, I got to go back in. And I was, no, don't go back in the Marine Corps. Pick something else. So I compromised and went in the Air Force. And then that's where I spent the rest of my time. And ironically got hurt and had to get out of the military.
You got hurt in the Air Force?
Yes. Yep. While I was stationed over in Qatar.
Really?
Yep.
So a total of how long were you in?
It was just over 9 years. I was pulling up on 10.
Yeah.
It's respectable.
Yeah.
That's a long time to give yourself to a greater cause.
And I was going for the 20. I wanted to retire. Yep. And retire at 38. Well, instead I retired at 33.
Right. So. Now, were you were hunting and fishing some bits before that, before you went in, right?
In high school, yes. Yeah. We were goose hunting, duck hunting, deer hunting, squirrel, rabbit. And we were out in the woods all the time hunting. And then joined the military and spent 10 years training to hunt man.
Right.
Technically, you come home
put
and
it
I
simply,
just,
right?
Yeah. And then I got home and I was like, I don't see the fun in going and sitting for hours in the woods until you actually get out there and get away from everything and you're able to let a lot of stuff go.
Right. Right. Exactly.
So, yeah. So I found that therapy, but it was fishing that originally had got me back into the outdoors.
And is that what started this trolling with the troops?
That came about 2 years later, as I started seeing there's other programs like one in Manistee called Tightlines for Troops, and they do it in the springtime around the end of May.
Mm-hmm, nice.
And then there's Walleye for Warriors,
right.
And that's over on the east side of the state, Saginaw Bay. And I was like, why don't we have anything over here? And I found out South Haven Steelheaders puts one on, and it's in August, same time we do ours. But we try to alternate weekends so that way they can have their event. We have our event, doesn't take away from each
one
other.
One or the other, right.
And, yeah, that's basically how we ended up.
Yeah.
Where we're at, it's just, I went in, I said, why don't we have anything here? And
how big is it from where you started to where it is now?
What do you do? I mean trolling with the troops is pretty self-explanatory, but like how do these people sign up? How do they get involved?
Well, around the end of February, beginning of March, depending on my motivation at the time, is when I'll open up sign-ups on our website, trollingwiththetroops.com. So then you just go in there, click on veteran sign up, fill out the information, hit submit, then you're signed up. That doesn't guarantee you a spot.
Right.
But you're signed up.
Right.
Because we're going for more of the quality, not quantity. We want it to be a personal experience for the vets,
right.
not some big blown out event where, you know, people feel like they're just lost in the shuffle. Mm-hmm. And it's like, yeah, I'm part of it, but I don't feel special.
Right.
Whereas we keep it down where we have it around 100, 110 vets we take out, you get a more individualized experience.
How many boats are you running with all them?
Our first year, we started off with 16 boats.
Wow. That's impressive.
Yeah. And we took out 67 veterans.
Slide that over a little bit for him. That pad.
Oh, yep. This one?
Yeah, there you go.
And then the next year, second year, we had 130 veterans sign up, and we had 34 boats sign up, but we only ended up using like 28. And then this year, we had 28 boats again, but we had 175 veterans signed up.
Okay.
So and
gaining more of a prestigious roll of steam, basically. Everybody's getting on board with it, and they know what it is now, and more people want to be a part of it.
Exactly, and we're to the point now where it's not a guarantee, where the first year it probably was.
Right.
But now it's like we've decided we're going to keep it small and have some special guests try to appear. And, you know, so that way they're not shuffling through 200-300 veterans, you know.
Right, right.
They keep it down small. You can meet the captains, meet the crew, meet the vets, you know, all that stuff.
And so you were saying you guys meet up about, you guys are on the water with lines in the water at 6 a.m.?
We're between 6 and 6.30 a.m. Okay. We're heading out, and usually by 6.30, everybody's fishing.
And you troll until about?
Until about noon. Yeah. And we meet up at the pierheads for the parade that goes up through. And this year we had St. Joe Fire Department. They put their ladder truck out and had a flag draped down. And they were spraying water over the river.
Oh, really?
Yeah, for our parade coming up. And the Legion auxiliary ladies, they provide all the food. They go out and make signs and hang them up along the pierheads in St. Joe. They also bring out a big speaker system, and they're playing patriotic music the whole time. And it's loud.
Really?
Yeah.
As it should be.
Yes.
Right.
We live in America, damn it. Now, where do you guys launch from?
Is it St. It's Joe all or? Individual slips.
Okay.
So each captain just... When they, because they sign up the same way the vets do.
Right.
They just go on the website, they click on the captain sign up versus the veteran sign.
Right.
But in that, you tell them where your slip is, and then the vets just meet you at your slip, right. And then
that's awesome.
Go fishing.
So that's quite, you know, so 100 vets, 16 boats.
No, we're 28 boats.
28 boats. Oh, yeah. Gotcha. I was like, that's still quite a few people on a boat, so you got to have a decent vessel, huh?
Yeah, well. We're doing, we got some boats that only take two, maybe three, but a majority of the boats we have can fit 4 to 6.
Gotcha.
So that's 30-foot plus boats that we're sending out. And okay. I'd say 28-foot up.
So you guys do that parade and come back, and you guys have quite a few sponsors involved in this, right?
Yeah, Whirlpool is our major sponsor. I was saying they, according to retail, the stuff they gave away, I was calculating around 50,000
really
prizes that they gave away.
That's awesome.
So, I mean, they're a major sponsor. They also buy all the shirts for the event. They mm-hmm. pay for all the shirts that we give away to the vets. And I mean, we couldn't ask for a better sponsor.
Right. Yeah, that's awesome. I seen you guys had Phil from Tackle Haven, which has been mentioned on the show a couple times.
Almost several times.
Yeah.
Yeah. This year was. Guests. Charlie at the fishing hole.
Yeah.
He was our local bait shop for this year.
Okay.
So next year we'll go back to Phil at Tackle Haven, and the year at we'll go back to. So we bounce it back and forth. And if a third one pops up in St. Joe, we'll ask them if they want to get involved.
And another person who's actually been on the show, Fubar Custom Spoons.
Yep.
I see they donated,
Oh, yeah. Yeah. He was a big donor this year. He gave really? Away. I think 3 spoons to each captain.
God, they're really so expensive.
They are.
Yeah.
They are for what? Yeah.
They're really nice spoons, don't get me wrong, but they're high quality and
they are.
High cost.
That's yep. Blaine Hillman, Fubar.
Custom Spoons.
Custom Spoons.
Yeah.
Blaine's a great dude.
Very, very good product. We use it all. I've got a lot of his spoons on my boat.
And you were saying you gave away some pretty cool prizes, too. You gave, 15 of those $300 Bluetooth speakers?
Oh, no, it was like 45.
Jesus.
45, 50. No, I'm sorry. We're like 200 of those. Because we had 4 boxes.
Oh, my
or
God.
Or not 4 boxes. We had, there's 4 speakers per box. And I think we had like 50 boxes. And by the time it was done, we still had like 3-4 boxes left. So we were like, here, take another one. Because Whirlpool's like, we already gave them to you guys. We don't want them back.
Right.
Get rid of them.
Right. Damn.
So, I mean, there's kids that were there volunteering, helping out. They got one. There's ladies, the auxiliary ladies, they each got one or two. I mean, we were just to take them. Get them out of here.
That's great.
So before we go too far off the rails, I should ask, if you're not a veteran, not a captain, but you want to volunteer and help out with this, how do you get a hold of you guys?
Well, you just go right on our website, or you can email us.
Trollingwiththetroops.com?
Yep. Okay. And our email address is on there. We've got the mailing address for the steelheaders, which all donations, monetary donations, should get sent to that address. For the it's a P.O. box for Steelheaders. They manage all the money for the event.
Nice. And what kind of things would they be doing if for a non-captain?
For non-captains, like I have my kids right now. They just sit outside, and we have a little sign-up tent where the veterans and the captains come up. They find their name, sign in, they get a shirt, and they get another prize, and they get entered into the drawings that we have when we're at the Legion.
Now, I know this is a pretty big event, and it's kind of a bitch to plan, but have you guys just thought about maybe doing more a year than just one?
I have thought about it, but I don't think my stress level can handle it. Putting on the one event is, like, from February to August, is just, I'm yanking hair. Like, trying to get donations, sponsors, just trying to pull everything together.
What's the dollar amount, like, your goal for donations?
This is like a non-profit.
To make it happen and go smoothly. And
I'm really not sure how much we take in, because like I said, I send everything to the Steelheaders for the monetary stuff.
Right.
So I'm not sure how much. I know we spend upwards with all donations plus the Steelheaders amount they allot for us. And we spend like $2,000 easy. And that's on, food stuff for, we try to offset the cost for the ladies at the Legion.
Right.
Things like that, so.
Right. They look like they did a pretty good job of setting up that Legion, too.
Oh, they did. It was awesome. Dude,
it was all decked out. I got on their Facebook today, and I was scrolling through some stuff.
Did you see the video of the young lady that sung the National Anthem?
I didn't. I missed that one.
Oh, my God. Amazing.
Really?
Chills. It was awesome.
Little girl, or
she's a teenager, just graduated. Okay. She's on her way to college, and they managed her Wild Bill. I believe it was the one that brought her in to sing.
Nice.
No, I wasn't too clear on that whole part because I was running everything else around. I was out helping with the sign ups, doing the big fish weigh in, running back and forth, making sure people had what they needed. So I'm not sure the whole story on what was going on. I missed it because I was probably outside at the time.
Right.
But I came in just in time for that, and I was that's awesome.
Right.
So.
And it was you and one other guy that decided to do this whole thing, right?
Yep, it was Coho Bob Lausman.
Coho Bob, that's what it was. I knew he had a...
I went to the Steelheaders. Actually, I went to Jim Marone, who was the president of the Steelheaders Club here in Southwest Michigan.
Right.
And I told him, I said, this is the idea I got. And he's like, you know what? You need to go talk to Coho Bob because he does a veteran fish outing with the Elks. What the Elks do is they do a perch fishing trip, which they bring the vets in from Battle Creek and take them out perch fishing.
Yeah, that's still fun.
Yeah.
It's a good time.
They leave at like 10 a.m. They fish for a couple hours and come back.
Right,
It's fun. No, I was like, no, I'm talking about big game fishing. I'm talking about a 30, 45 minute fight with a 40 pound king salmon.
Yeah.
That's what I'm wanting these guys to get into.
Hell yeah.
Not to interrupt you, I'm sorry. No. What's the biggest fish you guys have produced on your time on the water?
That I've caught on my boat?
That or in the actual event itself?
Because I'm sure you guys have like a biggest fish contest.
Yes. Right? Every year we do the big fish contest. It's the captain and the vets of the boat that get the largest fish. They each get a plaque.
Nice. Well,
last year, I believe we had a 26-pound king that won it.
Nice.
This year, we had a 29.05-pound king that won it.
I heard this year that the lake was really on fire with big kings. There were a lot of big fish caught this year from a lot of different people.
There's 40-plus pounders being caught up, manistee.
Do you think the reason for that is?
More bait fish.
Yeah.
You think so?
That or all the rain we got this year in early spring set up the lake for...
You see, I think all this water that's in there now, that lake's like 3 feet higher than what it normally is.
It's up,
which is a good thing.
Yeah. So it's pulling in everything from shore out into the lake,
right?
Which is going to be feeding those bait fish. At least this is what my mind is thinking.
No, I'm with you.
So,
makes sense.
Yeah. So there's more bait fish. There's going to be more predator fish, and they're going to be bigger.
And I think the lake, because of all the extra water, was more consistent this year. Normally, you have a lot of flip and flop where the lake flips over, rolls over, and you lose 10 degrees of onshore temperature in your water versus you know, the much colder water out a lot farther.
Yeah, and the cold water gets up top. That really, really throws a kink into things.
Steelhead love it.
Yeah.
Not so much the salmon.
The salmon hang out in the cold water and they tack up into the warm water.
Right.
Okay, so they're attacking from the bottom. A steelhead attack from the side?
Anywhere. Steelhead attack from everywhere.
Yeah. Shift. Yeah.
Steelhead be up on the shore squirrel hunting.
Right.
Jump in there to get you.
And that is a fact.
Oh, God. Speaking of squirrel hunting, so we were just talking earlier about the rules and regulations for shooting squirrels out of boats in the state of Michigan.
Are there rules and regulations for it? Because I don't think it's legal.
I think it is. As long as everything I found, and believe me, this is not an easy thing to look up because I've spent, well, not that much time. It was a little over an hour, but still, a little over an hour on the internet to not find your answer is a pretty big deal.
Nowadays on the internet, yeah. Anything over 30 minutes, you're pretty much just chasing your
tail. So I don't know what that, but from what I'm reading, as far as firing a weapon off from a boat, it's just got, the engine has to be off and the boat has to be stopped.
Stationary.
Either anchored or up on shore, whatever the hell, if you can. Yeah. Now, the issue would be when you shoot the squirrel, retrieving it. So it's got to either fall in the water, where it's, what do they call that, riparian zone. So it's not trespassing, you just grab it.
Right.
But if it's private land and it falls on the shore, then what? Can you grab it with like a stick if you're not technically on the shore?
I don't think legally that's okay. I'm not 100% for sure myself, but it would seem that...
You can find out who owns the property. There's like deer hunting contact. Say, hey, I took this animal. It landed on your property. Can I retrieve it?
Which would be a bitch for all that work for a squirrel.
I was out there fishing, seen that squirrel, and I shot that son of a bitch from my boat. Can I come retrieve said squirrel, please?
It's right on shore.
Well, my kids got to eat.
We were fishing the other day. And I kept looking. I'm like, I'm seeing all these squirrels out on these oak branches, like, over the water.
Yeah.
I'm like, how easy would it be to just pop them and just let them float right to you? You don't even got to move.
Yeah. Well, you want to give them a headshot then. Keep the lungs full.
All right.
So they float down to you. I think.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's weird. Because past winter, we had a couple of 12-pound steelhead on a stringer. And we were pulling up, getting ready to go, but we forgot that the fish were hanging over the side of the boat. We made it about 20 feet down, like, oh, crap. Dropped the power, reached over and went to pick the fish up. When we did, the stringer went through two of the gills on the biggest fish we had. Right in and immediately to the bottom.
Oh, no.
I can't believe this.
Oh.
Yeah, it was heartbroken. And they were already dead, so they weren't making it back.
Right.
Oh, no.
Well, raccoons got to eat, you know, other animals.
Turtles.
Turtles, snakes. Right.
Yeah, I got to eat too.
Speaking of which, the biggins are definitely in the Joe. I saw a couple guides below the dam where we fished yesterday, which below the dam, a little tough for a little motor. I got a little 2-horse outboard motor now. I upgraded for my little 70 thrust.
Are you talking about here, Niles? Or?
Yeah.
Okay. Define below. Like to you, like, north or south?
That would be
north.
Don't confuse me.
St. Joe runs backwards, so it'd be right. North is below.
Right,
below.
Right. Yeah, right. Exactly.
Yeah, we've had this conversation before, and like, yeah, you know, below the dam,
or they say north of the dam, but it's really south of the dam, but it's above.
Yeah, it's between the Bering Springs Dam and the Lake Michigan.
Right,
right.
So that whole stretch is below the dam.
Right.
Yeah.
So we put in there. The current's a little stronger than I thought it would.
Well, yeah, you'll have that.
It was the second. Well, the first time we put in with just a trolling motor, and we did okay. I didn't try to make it up too far.
Yeah.
That bridge right there. What,
the main street right there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or no. We were back farther. We're down by the YMCA, that bridge.
The train trestle?
Yeah.
The train bridge.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did you put in on up by the dam or did you put
in? I put on a Marmont.
Marmont. Okay.
Yeah. So we tried cruising up and then we got to that bridge and I had that 2-horse maxed out. It was just
and you're still
not
going backwards.
Moving. It's like, oh, okay, well, guess we're going downstream.
Well, you know, we'll just fish here. It's fine. Right. It's fine.
But there was two boats that were definitely being ran by guys.
Just yeah.
Older gentleman doing the fly fishing. And there was like this young guy sitting on there with this big expensive motor, big expensive trolling motor and all that shit. And wasn't fishing, so.
Right.
That's.
Yeah.
So they got to be in there.
Well, there's a thing, too, is all this stuff. It's made for the fishermen, not the fish.
Correct.
Right.
Because you can have all the most expensive equipment and get out there in that water, and you have some old dude in a 1940s boat with a two-stroke or two-horse on it,
a little,
and he spanks your butt 5 feet from the launch.
A little 14-foot Alumacraft V-bottom with an old two-horse Johnson on it.
Yeah. And he's just throwing a wacky worm out, and he just tears you up.
I just got I got crawlers, dude. That's all I'm using. Cassie's gotten pretty goddamn good at catching them smallmouth, though. Jesus Christ.
Good deal. That's fun.
She fishes me every time.
You're not supposed to admit that.
I know.
You're not supposed to tell people that. Cut this part out.
You're not holding your mouth right.
Right.
I tell my kids, like, you're talking too much. The fish are hearing you. They're not going to bite.
There you go.
Right. There you go. Let's play the silent game.
Exactly.
But, I want to latch on the one pretty. I still haven't caught one.
Well, we'll get you guys out on my boat.
That'll be awesome. Yeah, the only thing I've been on the big water and caught perch, obviously, and lake trout. That's it.
No, well, this winter, especially football season, steelhead season, go out, anchor, throw our lines in the water, turn on the Michigan game inside of boat.
No shit.
Unless you're a Notre Dame fan, or well, then you get to ride on the top.
Here we go.
Well, so, I liked you up until that point.
Well, we watch all games.
He's not even a Notre Dame fan. That's
no,
the sad
I'm a Michigan
part.
State
Michigan
fan.
State fan.
See,
Notre Dame, Michigan.
My family is like this. We're, at least in my house, we're Michigan and Michigan State fans.
Okay.
Until Michigan and Michigan State plays each other.
Right.
Then it's Michigan.
Yeah.
What happened last time?
We whooped your butt.
Yeah, the time before that.
So and we,
he's like, oh, man, what do I
squeak one out?
Wait a minute.
Box squeak punt. One out, yeah. Guy broke his pelvis.
That was
saved
that box
the game.
Punt, wasn't it?
Yeah. You talking about when Jabril Peppers picked it up and ran it all the way back at the end?
At the very end?
Yep. There was that exclamation point right at the end.
Right.
Big middle finger. So you remember
thanks,
what
Jabril.
You did with us?
Right. His whole team jumped on him and shattered his pelvis, and then he never played football for the rest of the season.
Ray's just shaking his head. God damn it.
I text
no, I think
Ray
it
that
was
night.
When they jumped on him, he got a lot of sand in his clit.
Oh, was that it?
And, yeah. That's
I
my thing, because he went
really
straight to
the
Browns and sucked it up.
Never mind, I can't argue with that. Browns do suck.
Well, so does the Lions, and they're my favorite team. Everybody's like, oh, they're undefeated. Yeah, wait till next week.
Right.
Barely.
That's when they go for, like, 10 straight losses.
So I know how you feel. I'm an Indianapolis Colts fan, so.
What?
I lived there for long enough that it got in my system and I can't get it out.
You lived in Indianapolis?
For almost 2 years.
What the fuck? There's like a huge chunk of your life I don't even know about.
I don't tell a lot of people about it, Bert. I'm not proud of it, okay?
Hey, Andrew Luck
Adam
is
so young
player.
That 2 years of his life is a big chunk.
He left because of his mental issues, mental stuff going on, and they booed him, which I think is bullshit.
Absolutely is. I can fully agree.
They booed Luck?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Come on.
For
man.
Early retirement.
Yeah, he retired early, walked off, and you can watch him walking out. You can hear the whole stadium boo.
I mean,
I was like, that's such horseshit.
Nobody likes to lose a guy, but there goes my fantasy team. This is bullshit.
There's not much in Indianapolis to keep the people cohesive. So when he decides to disrupt the major.
Well, he was their band aid after Peyton Manning got traded to the fucking Broncos. So.
Yeah. Right. Anyway. Peyton.
But he was a good thing. And people wonder why we have that 22 a day. And there's civilians included. All these people offing themselves because they ask for help, like blatantly,
right?
Saying I can't do this anymore,
and
people boo them.
Get over it. You know,
it's fine.
Suck it up. Yeah, you'll be tougher if you get through it. You're fine.
Yeah, and that's not how that works.
Right.
I found there's nothing really we can say that would adequately explain some of the things that have happened.
Mm-hmm.
And some things you just can't dig back up, no matter how hard you try. It's just, it could be your end right there.
So I'm sure this trolling for troops is, or trolling with the troops, I'm sorry, is a huge deal for a lot of these guys to just kind of go out there
and it was for me too, because I was fishing with my dad all the time, but then he became a charter captain. So now he's trying to make money so I can't fish with him like I used to. And I tried doing the mate thing, but being out on the water that much, I can't take it. Back, stomach, head, everything. So I could do a couple trips here and there, but, and I was like, you know what? I said, I need some fishing partners. Right. I need some buddies.
Right.
Because right now it's just me, my wife, and my kids. I didn't really have anybody that I could just hang out with. So that's why I was like, this, something's got to change. Something's got to give. And that's what I came up with.
Does it seem to be therapeutic for the people that come out with you? Is it something that you can see like a visible difference in them when they get done fishing versus when they started fishing?
And you can. It's like some of the guys come back and they're just all smiles and happy. And
right.
I told the radio host, I was on 107.1 right before the event. I was in that whole studio, so I was on every radio station in there. But I kind of likened it to a father seeing their kids on Christmas.
Right.
So seeing something that you did that made them people so happy.
That's awesome.
Yeah. It's good. And we did have a veteran, Vietnam vet. He was in tears.
Really?
So, yeah.
I've been in tears before on the Big Lake too, but not because I'm a veteran.
No.
Because I fought a freaking salmon for 30 minutes and got it up 10 feet from the back of the boat and it shook his head just right. Flicked a spoon at my face and I swam away.
I thought you were going to say when Coon was running the boat and the bell was ringing and he just taped it shut.
Yeah.
Well, that was a different day.
I've had lures go right there, past my eyeball, and I'm like, I see why people wear safety glasses while they're reeling in fish, because I've had a couple.
There's some big-ass lures, man. How long would you say them things are?
Oh, it's just a spoon, maybe 3 inches.
Good size, though. Yeah, 3 inches. Is that your average spoon?
That's what he tells his wife.
3 inches.
3 inches.
Burt, anyway.
3 feet.
3 inches from the ground.
So. So, we were talking. You're not doing anything.
You're laying on your stomach.
But I actually just got back into deer hunting last year. I met a guy through trolling with the troops. He lives up in Dowagiac. Mm-hmm. And me and him we fished all winter together. Then he took me out to his hunting blind a couple times. And I guess we lost that property, so we can't go out there hunting anymore. So now I'm just kind of sitting on ammo and can't know where to go.
It's not a bad feeling. I mean, I'd rather have ammo than not, but it makes you feel better to have something to do with it.
Yeah, it's like all dressed up, nowhere to go.
Right. Yeah. Well, the good news is there's a lot of spots as far as public land goes for, like, you know, lumber properties.
Mm-hmm.
It's one thing a lot of people don't know about. You can hunt those. The HAP program,
mm-hmm.
which is private land. A lot of times you got to, like, sign in and shit. But
right. I've seen that. Yeah, mm-hmm. there was one over in Eau Claire on Naomi Road, off of Naomi.
Yep.
Yep, I went out there like 7-8 years ago. I was trying to slide back in, and then I seen that there was like 5 cars there.
Yeah.
And they're all signed in. I'm like, 5 people with guns hunting, right? No, I'm going somewhere else.
I was going to say, like, the Pike Lumber Company, they have a piece of property off of Pokagon Highway right there, where it comes out of Pokagon, it runs up towards Cass. And there's a big swath of land right there that if you know the rules to it, you can actually hunt that and have pretty good success. I know a lot of guys that hunt it or have hunted it and have had pretty decent success rates out there.
And those properties, I would say if you're bow hunting, you probably have that shit mostly to yourself. There might be a guy or two. Yeah. I think during gun season is where the people that do know about it, they're flocking. That's where they're going.
All the Elmer Fudds come out there.
See, we go
weekend shoot warriors at each other.
Right? What's that state land that's right there by Cook Plant? I can't remember the name of it, but we go out there sometimes.
I know what you're talking about. Damn it.
By the Cook Plant? You're not talking about Warren?
No, not Warren Dunes. No. It's before Warren Dunes. It's north.
Okay.
It's right. That's like, there's Cook Nuclear Plant, and actually this preserve runs right up to the Cook Plant.
Which is funny, because a lot of guys that work at the Cook Plant that I know talk about how big the deer are
on
the Cook Plant property. They're like, there's some massive deer.
But the deer know.
Exactly.
They know. They go past this line.
Because the only people that can carry a gun are the guards that let you through the fence.
Yeah. And Abe is one of them.
Yeah.
My cousin's husband. And, you know, he's got his AR, sidearm, all that. He's out there with a spotlight.
I did it for 2 years.
Sending me pictures of these huge deer. I mean, huge deer that are out there. Because
My gun just went off. Like
they know where to go, and I don't know which side of the current they're drinking off of or what.
Negligent discharge. Happened to shoot them right in the vitals.
I seen one that had six eyes.
It was weird. No, they're definitely big deer.
But yeah.
But I was security officer there for 2 years. And I remember sitting up in the post and seeing these deer walking the tree line, walking up along the skyline,
right,
going out towards 94. And there's some nice ones in there. But I think they know that if they leave.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, they definitely know. They don't get that big being stupid.
No. There was a three-legged deer out there.
Some of them are 15 years old.
Yeah. Right.
That's unfortunate.
Well, it's like those elk and shit that are in Yellowstone. Then when they go out of Yellowstone, they act completely different. It's like they know when they cross that imaginary little line that
no more picnic baskets.
Yeah, right. Shit changes.
Look out!
Right. Yeah, I've heard about people squirrel hunting up there at Warren Dunes. I think you can.
Well, the one,
but a shotgun only. You can't use a 22.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Which sucks though, because those oaks are tall as shit.
I'm gonna find it because now I'm.
The name I was just about to do it. I didn't want to get wrapped up in a like, rabbit hole.
It's right here. I go out to the Ross Coastal Plain Marsh up in Covert.
Oh, yeah?
My mom has 10 acres right there, so I'll go sit right on the edge of that.
Mm-hmm.
Then nice. I got clearance from them. If I shoot something on my mom's property and it goes over, I can chase it.
Now, nice. Are you bow hunting or gun or both?
I tried bow hunting. I can't pull my bow back anymore with my back. And I'm too poor to afford a crossbow. So
they're not cheap.
Nope. So I take my kids out and I'm like, hey, take a shot. It's yours. And I'll sit and watch them. But when gun season comes, they're being left to go to school.
Right. It's daddy time.
It is. It's like, leave me alone.
What's your excuse, Adam?
My excuse for not bow hunting?
Or crossbow.
I'd like to buy a crossbow if I could afford one, like you said. But
you can afford a goddamn hex suit.
That was years ago, Bert, and yes, I did, and it has been a favorite of mine ever since. I never go hunting without my hex suit on, whether it's squirrel hunting or deer hunting.
Dude, I really want one of those.
They're nice. You don't realize, because it seems like a pair of pajamas.
You probably couldn't cost too much to string up that mustache and just use that. You got enough product in that sumbitch, I bet it'll hold up.
The only thing I got in this is hopes and dreams, man.
But anyways, this is Grand Mirror State Park. Right there by Grand Plant.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah.
So we go out there right along. There's a road runs right through here. And we just park, walk right in.
And that was not the name I was going to say, so I'm glad I kept my mouth shut. I was thinking of somewhere way south. Never mind.
Uh-oh. So what's the terrain like up there? Sandy?
Yeah, there's a lot of sand.
Coastal?
Right. Yeah. It's a lot of dunes.
A lot of deer up there, though.
Bigger lake quarters.
Yeah, you
walking through all that sand,
right?
Yeah.
Monsters,
fucking a.
Come back with some big old.
I'd say some big ass fucking shankro or something. Yeah. Here.
You shoot them in the shoulder, and they just laugh at you.
You thought that penetrate? No. I need to find a spot to do some squirrel hunting, which is where the boat thing came into play, because all my good squirrel properties happen to be where I deer hunt too. Because we had a plan. What, last weekend we were supposed to go Sunday. Squirrel hunting.
Yeah.
I'm like, you know what? That's a little too close to bow season to be fucking around with that.
Yeah.
So we didn't want to go out there. And there's a lumber property where we could hunt, but it's a little sketchy because it's right next to some private land that was private / public. It was kind of a complicated situation, but some people took advantage of it and dumped out there and took some stolen cars, lit them on fire, and this and that. So,
oh, right. No big deal.
Well, that's the end of that one.
Right.
So now... there's gated. It's gated, locked. There's cameras out there for the private property, and I'm assuming that the DNR are going to be kind of keeping a close eye on that. Mm-hmm. So I hate to like park alongside the road and go back there because I mean, you never know, man. You could be violating in a way like you could think you're 100% clear, and then you know your shoes untied or some shit.
Right. And we all know it is the responsibility of the hunter to be brushed up on the law because
it is.
When the DNR gets to you, they know what you're doing wrong.
Right.
And they'd love to tell you about it while they're writing you a ticket, which is
and
not to say.
They've been watching too.
Yeah,
it's not they just walked up and saw you. They've been
especially
watching.
Especially with the new laws.
Right. Yeah. And it's not saying that they're ticket, you know, hungry or whatever. They're not out there just to write everybody
a
ticket.
They're not. They're just doing their job.
But it is the responsibility of the hunter or the sportsman to know the
laws like a kid.
And the regulations.
If they just let you go every time, you're not going to learn your lesson, right? So sometimes you got to pay a couple hundred bucks for a fine that kind of pissed off a guy, but it is what it is.
Sometimes it's a lot more than a couple hundred bucks. Like that guy that had 400 fish over the limit.
Oh my god.
Did you see that one?
Yeah, that was ridiculous.
They were all in this freezer, filleted, and they counted each one.
So they were happy to do it, too. They were happy to get it done.
In the state of Michigan, you're allowed to have, what, three the limit. Possession limit is three daily limits or two?
I'd stick with two. Just because.
150 fillets, right?
That depends.
25 fish
no,
a day,
because
right?
It's 25 fish now for a perch.
Per right. person.
Per person. 25 per person. So
50 fillets for one day, 50 fillets for the next day. You're only allowed to have right. 100 fillets
and he
on
had
hand.
A lot more than that.
Yeah.
Quite but a bit more
they
than
should
that.
Count
that's where Bert
every...
gets in trouble. The math part of it.
Right.
Because like 28
using
boats.
Using all my fingers,
160 something. That's got to be how many people per boat? It's about six.
Well, it's not his six. Fault. He only lost nine toes.
Well, and they got to count all the people that have licenses in your home should also count for that limit as well.
You would think so.
It shouldn't be a household daily limit. It should be each individual person.
Right. Legally, but it is a household daily limit, right?
It is. The standard it's a household right. daily limit, not individual, from what I understand.
Right. That's the same interpretation I got from it. So,
if you have two kids or 22 kids.
Right.
You better don't feed matter. Them on that 10 fish.
Yeah. Sorry, kids.
Keep them fishing. You better be cooking that
there,
fish when they bring
I
it home.
Right, there's a lot more to that story,
you
though,
better be
too.
Squirrel hunting off that boat
he,
while
he was out there. He was out there tearing them up like day in and day out and every yeah, day.
There's always another side. Yeah. Always another side of the story.
Well, there's two, sometimes three sides to every story. Yeah. So,
or there was three for sure, right? There's your side. Their side and then the truth. Truth,
right? Yeah,
and usually it intersects somewhere
right.
in the middle,
right?
So, do you do much small lake fishing then?
I try to. I really love going pan fishing. Just getting a
don't
a,
we all
a no. nice big bluegill with some shoulders on them.
Oh yeah, just
run that drag out on your little Zedco.
You get that. Oh shit!
I still maintain if bluegill got to be the size of steelhead, nobody would want a steelhead fish.
Nope.
Right.
It would all be bluegill fishing, and they would fight
they're
as
tanks.
Good as any steelhead you ever caught.
I love catching bluegill in an ultra.
Oh yeah.
Man. Oh, I love it.
Yeah, until you hook into a 5-pound smallie and 3-pound test on an ultra light.
Yeah.
Then it's like I just give up. Take it.
Cast has caught some dudes. We didn't weigh him or measure him because I'm always so excited when we get home to throw him on the table and fillet
right,
the fucking asses. But
Bert eats everything he can that he catches for the most part.
All I do is measure, make sure it's over 14.
We're cooking
all
it.
All right. Here we
well,
go.
This, they always make fun of each type of fisherman. But like the big lakes, big sport game. Fishermen are making fun of the bass fishermen. Like, yeah, you're in easy mode. You're still in elementary school. Come up here with the big boys and see how you handle one of these big fish.
You know, I know a lot of guys like that. My best friend talks about he hates bass fishing because he's such a good steelhead fisherman.
Yeah.
Says, why would I want to go out and catch bass all day long when I could spend all day trying to catch a steelhead, maybe only get one or two, and get much more satisfaction out of fooling a superior animal.
Yeah, that's all tactics.
Yeah.
I just, small creek trout fishing is still my favorite.
Okay.
I absolutely love it. It's just certain times of year. Yeah, I don't want to go down there, man.
Right.
But what?
Just be glad you're not up on the Betsy River.
Betsy?
It gets nuts up there, yeah.
Good
skeeters?
Lord.
No, people.
People.
Oh.
Like straight assholes up there.
Oh.
Like
well, the
they'll
residents
cast over
there.
Your
yeah.
shit and they'll just run your lines all together.
Really?
Yeah, there's been people that said they got a gun pulled on them out there, people stealing other people's shit right off the bank.
A lot of residents up there take their fishing holes personal, and even if they're not a resident, if they've been doing it for a couple years, they feel like they own that particular part of the river, and they turn into straight dicks trying to run other people off of where they're fishing or away from what they're doing.
But Betsy's not the only place, because it happens on the St. Joe.
Oh, yeah.
Where... I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, it was right below the Bering Springs Dam. Like, we were in a hole, and we had a guy come up and park right below us. Like, we were running our lines out, and he sat right in the middle of our lines, dropped his anchor, and started running his shit out.
And you know he knew what he was doing.
Yeah.
Guys that do that don't have...
I mean, I...
Just totally acted like you weren't even there.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, we could have took a 1-ounce sinker and pelted it right through his window from where we were at.
Probably that wouldn't have been a bad idea.
Yeah, but... But
that shit pisses me off, man. I'm sorry. It's everybody's fucking river. They got there first.
Yeah, and the thing is, too, is if you know them to be a charter captain, and they do that stuff to you, you document it, take it to the Coast Guard. If they get so many complaints, they lose their charter license.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So
well, that's good to know.
And I don't think a lot of people know that, so that should put these dicks on notice right now that keep screwing up, and we're going to fight back.
This is
and
kind
make
of
sure you can't.
In the same vein of what we're talking about here.
What you make got? Sure it doesn't go got you a there. Meme?
Little meme there. My buddy Mark sent it to me.
Maintaining proper etiquette on the water. Bass. Catfish. Jet skis. And there's a picture of different sinkers, and the jet ski is pretty aerodynamic.
It gets the biggest sinker of all.
It's awesome. Yep.
Little bullet sinker for bass, a little round flat sinker.
Is that what they call them? I always call them walkers. Can I get a beer, please, sir?
I don't have any of that size, but I got the little pyramid weights we use out there for spawn fishing.
Oh, yeah. That'll work.
And it's just...
That's take plenty
that,
heavy.
Take that medium heavy rod I got up on there. Launch. Yep. Put that sucker right through the windshield.
It's such a dick move, man. Somebody's already fishing that area. I don't give a fuck. Like, your name isn't on it. You're not paying any rent for this little stretch of fucking river.
Well, and if they can't run you off, then they go and they run and make it so miserable there you can't sit in your boat because it just rocks you back and forth until they can run you off and then they sit in your spot.
See, I don't think I would. See, that'd be we're going to dock together. We're going to fight.
That's for my buddy Jason.
I'm going to punch you in the face.
The steelhead fisherman. He hates bass fishermen. When all else fails, target the easy species.
Dude, and it's funny you say that because when we run the stretch of the river, like I said, we're throwing crawlers down. Yeah. I've seen
and
that.
And that's
before.
A nice bass.
That's a very respectable bass. I like how the guy's covering up his face.
He's ashamed.
I don't want to be seen with it. But the thing is, like I said, we run crawlers. I'm not trying to do anything fancy. I'm not fishing with skein or any of that shit. Everything will bite on a crawler as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah. Anything that swims in the river will eat a night crawler.
The fucked up thing is, bass always save the night.
Yeah.
You can catch 100 little bass all night long.
Right.
Those dumb little sons of bitches.
But when you're in a steelhead tournament, they don't count. So you catch them all you want and you go home disappointed.
Right, right.
Like, oh, no, I'm just saying, if you're going out to just catch some fucking fish, it's always the goddamn bass. they're right up there with bluegill. You can just dangle something in front of them as far as I'm concerned. They're going to bite it.
Yeah.
But the good thing about bass is that's a big fillet.
It is.
If it's a legal fish, that's a big fillet.
It is, and that's a lot of meat.
So the fucked up thing is I've actually been kind of targeting him lately, and I feel kind of guilty about it because I've talked so much shit about bass fishermen, but that's kind of what I've been doing. Like, okay, there's some lily pads over there. I bet there's a bass right underneath that log right by them lily pads. So Watch this.
I'll tell you a story. The best fish sandwich I ever had was a bass sandwich. It was a 10-inch bass that we caught out of a private pond that was legal to keep 10-inch bass in, and the small bass tastes great. The big bass.
I don't know who's cooking your fish, but man, I get you some perch.
Perch are great.
I like all fish, but the best fish sandwich I ever had was a small bass.
Hey, dude, I've had some pretty good bass sandwiches out of the St. Joe River, my damn self. They're not bad, dude.
I'm not saying it's bad. It's
not
bass.
Good.
It's just not my style.
Right.
Not my taste.
Right.
If I'm going to go spend my time on the river, I'm going to come home with some salmon. Or
right.
Some
right.
Trout.
Right. Right.
Maybe some walleye, depending on the mood.
If you're lucky.
Yeah.
See, I got a...
Fish is still my favorite.
Yeah.
Bluegill, all the brim. Yeah.
There's nothing better than sitting on a boat, drinking beer, just casting out.
Oh, well, dude, when the bluegill are on the beds?
Yep.
Shit.
All day long.
That is so much fun.
Yep.
Just every cast. Well, shit, that day me and you were on the river. I don't think they were on the beds. It was pretty late, but we were tearing them up.
Like, what are you doing? I'm like... Cast. Whoop, there's one. Whoop, there's another one. Every time I cast it, whoop.
Fishing with them zombie worms.
Zombie worms, yeah, right.
Bullshit.
And I tell you, ice fishing. Love it.
Oh, yeah.
We get out there on the ice pan fishing. We got out there. We were in a tournament through the Coloma FOP. And it was me and my dad, one of our buddies that worked with my dad at the courthouse, and another friend of his. And we went out and we were two-man teams. So we were sitting in the shelter fishing, and everybody's sitting in the circle. I wound up leaving out, and my partner's like, if you leave this tent, you better be coming back with some fish. So I went like 20 feet off to the side, and I just put my Vexilar down, and the water was sitting there jigging with a little orange fire tiger tungsten jig with spikes on it, red spikes. Sitting there bouncing on the bottom, got slab crappies, just pull them up, got one, threw it on the ice, jotted it back down, like 3 minutes later, boom, got another one. There's two. And he's like, yeah, we get it. Shut up.
Right.
Does anybody
when you get cold?
Does anybody remember ice fishing without a Vexilar? It's like, as soon as I got a Vexilar, my whole ice fishing game changed.
It did.
I have never fished with one.
You cannot, once you do it, you can't go on ice.
No, absolutely not. So what is it? Fish with somebody who has a Vexilar?
Explain to me what a...
It's a sonar.
Yeah. A Vexilar is a fish finder that is...
You just job it through the ice. It's got a circle. It's got the feet numbered on it.
Yep.
And there's a wheel that spins in there, and it shows you where in the level the fish are at.
Depending on the model, you have different depth settings for it. You can switch up between different frequencies if you're getting interference from other people's Vexilars.
You and can zoom in on a certain depth.
Yep.
Really? So it's just bouncing a signal back?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, it's literally a sonar that shoots a cone in the hole that you got. You let it bob in the hole, and it shoots a cone of sonar down around the hole so you can see
what's right below you,
where your bait is, what sort of structures below you. If there's weeds, you can see those usually. If you know what to look for, you can tell when fish come in. You can tell when a fish is by your bait. You can tell when you're getting a bite. A lot of times I'll see it on the Vexilar before I feel it on my pole.
Yeah, you'll see them. Like, you can watch the fish come off the bottom.
Oh, that's great.
And stay and just look at it, and then all of a sudden you see your rod tip just down. Yep. And it's like, wow, that was awesome.
Yeah.
Really?
Yep.
Yeah. You should get a Vexilar, Bert.
Matter of fact, I don't think I've even been ice fishing in... Oh, God.
I don't even want to tell you.
You don't have a Vexilar.
I think I was 14. Matter of fact, now that I'm right now thinking about it, I think it's been close to, if not over, a decade.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Back when I was in high school, I used to have all these little weights I'd hang on my zipper. And the weights would be so you could find the bottom and then set a little notch on your reel so you know where the bottom is. You would try to get your bait just a foot or two off the bottom, and that was fishing. You would do the best you can. You didn't know any better.
And hope there was something right there.
Exactly. And you'd jig and jig and jig, and sometimes you'd get something, but a lot of times you wouldn't.
You'd sit for 4 or 5 hours in a hole and never pick anything up.
That's what I remember ice fishing being like.
And when you get a Vexilar, if you fish for 20 minutes and don't see anything, you go drill another hole and find the fish.
We call it ice trolling.
Yeah. So it's amazing.
Are you guys using
the augers or
what? The gas powered augers, or are you guys using
hand crank?
Hand crank, bud.
Really?
Hand crank.
Right. Eskimo partner.
Heck yeah! You don't keep guns like that.
Adam goes out there with a pickaxe or shit.
Well, my dad had this,
and makes a perfect circle.
My dad had this huge fucking auger.
Take a 2-bit axe. One side gets dull. I switch.
There you go. Popsy had like this 8 or 10 inch. You know, it couldn't have been 10 inches. Probably 8 inch.
They make auger. 10 inch augers.
Yeah,
I don't think it was 10 inches though.
Okay, well,
it was still big 10 as inches fuck.
Like that big, right?
Drilling a hole with that thing was stupid, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fucker, I caught that.
Eventually.
Sorry, it took you a minute. Did he have sharp blades on it? Because I have an auger. I can turn 3 or 4 times. In the last couple of years, it's not really worth talking about because we don't get good ice anymore. Yeah. We used to get great ice.
Well, I can tell you a spot, but I'll let you finish. No, when you're done, I'll tell you.
But the lakes I fish are either spring-fed, which make them really dangerous to get on, or they just don't ever ice up the way that they should the last couple of years because we get such shit winters. It's because global warming's a real thing.
We get cold snaps, but they're only like mid-30s, low-30s for a while. We'll get some snow.
Polar vortex!
Right, and then all of a sudden it's polar vortex for 2 weeks. And it's freezing-ass cold.
Yeah, but then right
and then
after
it goes
that,
right back to 50 degrees.
Yeah, it's up to fucking 50 degrees, and all the ice goes to shit in a day.
Right.
Yeah. You know, if you got to tread through 6 inches of water.
You get some rain in the meantime, so it's nice and honeycomb.
Yeah. Real safe. Real safe.
But the spot I was talking about, you ever been downtown Benton Harbor by where Whirlpool is, the new Whirlpool building? Michigan Works. There's a little channel that runs right there.
Okay.
Where the old train bridge used to go across that they're rebuilding now.
Yep, I know
what
you're talking
about. If you go inside that channel in the wintertime. And you kill with perch.
On new ice or just...
Yeah. I walk out there sometimes, like when the polar vortex hits, wait 3-4 days.
Right.
Go out there and it's like 9-10 inches thick.
Awesome.
Because you got that wind coming off of Lake Michigan.
Yeah. The cold wind blows through and keeps things frozen. I know a lot of guys that get out on first ice And these are guys that have no business being on 2.5 inches of ice. But they'll walk out. Yeah. They'll walk out there. You gotta walk across a ladder or like a plank or something to get out to where the ice actually is set up good. Yeah. And then when you're fishing channels, there's always a point you got to walk around. And that point may be cracking under your feet when you're trying to get to the other channel. Mm-hmm. Speaking about Juneau Lake specifically. But
yeah. It sounds like a cable under stress or something.
Pretty much, yeah. When you put your foot down, the ice under your foot goes...
Mm. Well, Pops used to say Singer Lake, we've talked about on the show before.
Right.
That lake is only good for ice fishing at first ice. So Popsy's a big dude.
Oh, yeah.
And that dude used to go out there at first ice with like an inch and a half, maybe 2 inches of ice.
No. No.
I've been out there with him one time when we were doing that.
And he's 6'4", 6'5".
Yeah, he's 6'4".
When you drill a hole and the water comes up 300 pounds over the ice around you, you know you're on thin ice.
I've done that. Yeah.
We were walking. I swear to God, it was me, him, and my brother. And as we're walking, like you can almost feel the whole lake just kind of like...
move on every
step. I'm like, is this safe?
It's not.
My 10-year-old self, is this okay?
What Popsy has going for him is he wears like a size 17 shoe.
So it's like a snowshoe. Yeah, it spreads it out.
Kind of spreads the weight out a little bit.
He's got his little
Popsy's
feet sun.
Got bunny feet.
We went out to Pawpaw Lake. We go out there and do a lot of ice fishing.
That's a deep lake, isn't it?
It is. Yeah. And, well, I walked out there from the Water of Elite launch and walked out and went west and followed the shoreline down where all the docks were. And I got to one spot and I stepped and it broke underneath my foot. Oh, and I dropped like 3 inches down to the next ice. And I said, that's enough. I'm going back.
And that's another real sweet trip on the ice. When it melts enough underneath it, and then it freezes on top, so when you're walking, all of a sudden your foot drops 3, 4, 5 inches, 6 inches, and you think you're going down, then you hit ice underneath you, when it's all wet with slush and whatnot.
You'd be like, I gotta go home and change my pants. I'll be back.
You guys, I'm done for the day. I didn't wear a double pair of underwear. I can't turn them around again.
God, we need to do more ice fishing. We should.
Large 10-man shelter. Whoa. I don't want to say 8-man. It's one of the hub-style shelters.
Nice.
It was my dad's. Since he moved to Kentucky, he gave it to me. I'm going to say give to me because he'll probably listen to this and be like, I ain't give you shit. You're borrowing it.
Right.
But, yeah. It's like, but I take my kids out, so I need something bigger. I was using my hunt blind.
Which, it will work.
I've used that in about 10 years ago, but.
Yeah, but now I got this big shelter, big clam hub style shelter. It's kept us warm quite a bit out there. Put a little Mr. Heater inside of there.
Mr. Buddy Heater.
Yep.
Got that too, Bert.
Pretty soon you're in there stripping off your jacket because you're sweating.
Mr. Moneybags in my left ear.
You're right, yeah.
I fell asleep one night in my hunting blind.
I got a Mr. Heater.
With a Mr. Buddy.
Mr. Buddy, nice.
That's what it is. I woke up like, and it's 2 hours past dark.
Yep.
And my ass is just sleep.
You what? Well, I'm sorry, I missed it. You fell asleep in the blind?
Yes.
You should open the windows, man. You shouldn't just sit in there with that thing with the windows shut.
That was carbon monoxide poisoning.
Right, you're lucky you woke up, man.
Well, you've seen the pictures of my boat I've been working on.
Yeah.
And put that new hard top on. Well, I got to put my little heater in there. So in the wintertime, steelhead, we can be out there and it's snowing, just blowing cold. We can be sitting in there with that little heater going.
That's a Lake Michigan.
Toasty. No, on the river.
Down the Joe.
Oh, yeah.
It's amazing what a little bitty heater will do in an area where you don't have a lot of crosswind.
Oh, man, yeah.
It makes a hell of a difference. And fishing comfortably is way better than fishing uncomfortably.
Oh, yeah.
When it gets cold out like that,
man,
that's nice.
We used to...
It's real nice.
We used to sit on my boat because I just had a little canvas top just to keep the rain off of us. But I had my hunting jacket, my big, like, middle of winter hunting jacket and my bibs and my muck boots and everything, trying to stay warm on that boat. But now I can go in my t-shirt and a nice jacket, turn that heater on, I can sit in there comfortably now.
Oh, what's nice is as soon as you hook a fish, you don't feel the cold. All you're doing is fighting the fish.
And then you just go right back in and sit down when you're done fighting.
All that adrenaline.
Yeah. Yep.
God, I want to catch one so bad.
It's all right, we'll get you out.
We've been talking about ice fishing too.
Yeah, we did. We did a couple times.
Next year, whatever, this season. Yeah.
This season, I mentioned that we should have an ice fishing derby on Diamond Lake. We should go out and set some tip-ups and see if we can catch some pike.
I haven't done it since I was like 13 or 14, and that's a little... It's over 5 years ago.
Yeah.
I'll put it that way.
I say we do it on Magician Lake.
That's cool.
Yeah, I've heard
Magician or Indian. Either one of those.
So why? Why any of those?
Because I know where the fish are. Oh, and gotcha. It's closer to me.
That's the only reason I said Diamond Lake, because I know where to fish out there. But.
Diamond Lake's
now, see,
a ways
when
away.
We used to fish Diamond when I was a kid.
27 years ago might be
a little more accurate.
Who's counting, Ray? Who's counting?
Right. Now, Diamond Lake, when I was a kid, we used to fish right at the ferry crossing.
Yeah, that's nowhere near where I'm fishing.
No.
I'm on.
But we were fishing for perch. We would just set up a bunch of holes and just sit in our shanties.
Right.
And it'd be an hour of nothing. And then an hour of, oh my God.
Right, yeah. The school there for a minute.
You can't even keep up.
Yeah, we also do Set Lake in Eau Claire. It's
which
right,
lake?
Right off of 62.
Mm.
Smith Lake. Big Smith.
Mm. Big Smith? Yeah.
Big Smith. That's where we did that fishing tournament. And I told you I got out of the hut and went and sat out by myself. And I started yanking crappie through. I know where to go there, too. So if you want to do a tournament, I'm in on that one.
is Little Smith private?
No, Little Smith is where the public can park. And
okay.
Big Smith is private.
That's what I was thinking of.
So you have to walk from Little Smith across
to Big Smith.
To Big Smith.
Piss off all the locals. Now,
if you're on a boat, you have to put in a big Little Smith, pay the $5 or whatever it is, right? And then you got to drive to the
and
other
then
one?
You have to go all the way.
Right.
And there's good pike out there too, right?
I've never pike fished out there.
I've heard of people catching nice pike, especially on Indian Lake up in that area.
Oh, yeah. Indian Lake, Magician. Lake.
Yep.
Magician's got some pretty big ones. Pawpaw.
Yep.
A lot of walleye in there, too. Pawpaw Lake.
Really?
And Little Pawpaw.
I'll tell you, one of my favorite lakes to fish is Cora Lake.
Yeah.
I love that fucking lake.
I've dove Cora. I've never fished Cora.
Cora or Corey?
Cora. Like Cora and Pawpaw by state police station?
No, I'm talking Corey, which is right by, was it Hartwood?
Yep.
Yeah.
They're connected by a little stream. Apparently there's rainbow trout in Hartwood.
Yeah. Really?
But, yeah.
I've never heard that before.
I've heard that.
Okay.
But, and they say there's some in Corey, too, because they go through the stream, but I've never caught one in Corey, but I have caught perch in Corey, and the limit for bass is only 10 inches. And that's what I like.
Delicious
little bass. And it's a huge lake, dude. You can fish all day in that lake and not hit everything. You know
and I mean? Avoid Black Lake like the plague. That one's in Sodus.
Really?
Yeah. And my uncle, he goes out there and he just kills panfish all day long. As soon as I step foot on the water, they turn off. It don't matter. He could be on the other end of the boat just killing them. I'm using the same thing he's using. And nothing the whole day. Let's switch spots. Right. So I'll go to his side where he was casting.
Doesn't same that thing. Piss you off?
Nothing. And he starts catching them over here.
Right.
And I'm like, that's it. I hate Black Lake. I'm never coming back.
If they called it White Lake, would it make a difference?
Oh.
Just kidding. Maybe. Just kidding.
Just kidding, people.
Easy California.
Don't get your panties in a bunch of snowflakes.
Bullshit. I'm going to Honky Lake.
But that's like Singer Lake, man. We used to tear him up at Singer Lake. But the last couple times I've been there, for the drive it is from where I live now, because I used to live on the north side of Buchanan, so it wasn't too bad. But now it's like, it's kind of a cruise. And you get there and you get in the water, and I haven't caught shit, really. I know they stock them full of rainbows, which I think is the only thing that keeps pulling me out there. But
what's the other lake?
Madron? Barron?
There's another one that has rainbow trout. It's well known. It's up.
Not Torch.
Sort of Vandalia, no. Vandalia-ish area. I want to say Clear Lake. That's not it. It's,
That's too think far away from me. I wouldn't know that one.
It's deep as shit, too. It's like 100 feet deep in the middle.
I think Coon was talking about whatever one you're talking about.
Right.
I think he mentioned it. And
yeah,
because
we fished out there
Twin
quite
Lakes?
A bit. No, it's, gosh darn it. I'll think of it. Probably after I'm down the road. But I'll think of it.
That's how it works.
I'll wake up tomorrow and go, shit.
All right. All right. We should probably work on closing this thing up. So anyway, if anybody wants to get a hold of you to help out with trolling with the troops, go to your website, trollingwiththetroops.com. And they can email you.
They can message us on our Facebook page, Trolling with the Troops Facebook page. Just search for it, and I believe we're the only one.
Wait.
So they can message me through there. They can do a post. They can go to the website, email, call. And I basically just field calls from older vets who don't know how to use the internet to get signed up. So they'll call me saying, I don't know how to use a computer, so I'll help them sign up. And
can you get on and
definitely sign them up? We actually have a lady from Buchanan who signs her father up every year.
Yeah,
nice.
So, and he's been lucky and been picked every year so far to go in.
Nice.
So
now, how do you guys pick the people to... I should have asked that earlier, but
well, we have our board members,
right?
Most of them are captains. And then we have the Legion people who are letting us use their facilities. So we set aside like 10 slots just for them. So 10 people from the Legion automatically get approved and they're in.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
And that's just because, you know, they help us. So we're taking care of them as well.
Right. Right.
And then from there it goes, if you haven't never fished this program before, you are at the top of the list to be picked to go first. And then it goes, if you fished it before, which you missed last year, then you'll get next. And then so on down the list.
That's awesome.
I think that's really cool, yeah.
That's really cool. We appreciate what you guys are doing. That's totally awesome.
Yeah, and like I said, I love doing it, and I just did it because, like I said, I needed people to hang out with.
Right.
It's a win-win situation for everybody, it sounds like.
Exactly. I can help them out at the same time they're helping me out. I went through... they call it cognitive processing therapy. Yeah. Basically, you go in and you try to train your brain, rewire it to think about things differently.
Right.
And that's when I started sitting down and thinking, it's like, I'm back in America. Like, chances of me getting shot by a terrorist are slim to none.
Right.
My chances of getting shot by some disgruntled high schooler is a lot higher.
Unfortunately,
yeah, LeBron shoes. Yeah. Mad at everybody.
So I mean, it's I just it was something for me to connect with other people, some people that have been through similar things that I have. We have that connection. It don't matter if they served in World War II,
right,
or they graduated from boot camp tomorrow.
Right,
we've all been through the same shit.
That's
in the beginning.
Sort of the MO that we follow with the podcast. When we started this, all we wanted to do was get people to get their kids out in the woods, get their kids out on the lake, get their kids out off the couch, away from the TV, and just enjoy some of the more surreal elements of the wild world that a lot of people don't get to enjoy because they're too wrapped up in their Facebook and their cell phone and their social life, whatever it is.
And I can tell you, there's nothing better than being out on the river in the morning and watching that sunrise come up. And you see the steam coming off the river, no electronics,
yep.
You know, and you're just listening to the lures working in the water, the water hitting the boat, and it's just... The
drag screaming.
Yeah. I mean, you can sit and stare off into nothing for an hour and not even realize it. It's just...
And be totally content doing it. Yeah,
exactly.
Pretty therapeutic.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like your whole body is just resetting, just... Throwing everything.
I don't know if
back.
You can see it, but
yeah, I'm getting the same thing.
Goosies.
Yeah. Until you get a chance to feel it and actually live it. And when you get yourself in that moment, you can't describe it.
Yeah.
It's so amazing. And that's not a word just used lightly. It is an amazing moment when you realize that there are things bigger than you in the world, and everything that you're worried about, you
doesn't
don't care
matter.
About. Exactly.
Doesn't matter.
Until you get off the water, until you get out of the woods, you know, for that little bit of time, you get a purchase to a carefree environment, and it's something that you can't replace. It's
something you can't help but recognize either. When you're out there, it's just like, damn.
Yeah, like when I saw it, I snapped that picture, and I use it for my other page that I run for the 100% and families, and you know, just basically any vets that need help,
right?
For in our area, they can come to the page and get help. But that's why I snapped that picture and put it on there, because it was just, you just look at it and be like, this is special.
Yeah.
And then you snap your picture, put your phone down, and then just enjoy it. Just sit back on the boat.
Just take it in.
Yep. Just don't even talk. Just sit and just listen and look. Think about it. Even don't think. there's times I sat out there and I didn't think about shit for an hour.
Right.
Just dead space, dead air.
I've had a lot of mornings like that in the tree stand because I had no other choice because there was no deer running around.
You're a little hungover from the night before. So.
A little bit. Yeah. But
that's priceless. It really is. Yeah, it is.
And what you guys are doing for these vets is just awesome, dude. Totally awesome.
And I even have a thing. I tried to do it this spring where vets could sign up. I did a separate sign up page. And if they wanted to go out on the river, like I would take them as I could.
Right.
And it's like, all right, you next come. This is the time to meet me at the launch if you still want to go.
Is that through that other page, that 100%ers?
No, that's still through Trolling with the Troops that I did that one.
Okay.
And I might bring it back depending on the interest in it.
Mm-hmm.
But last year there really wasn't that much interest. I had like 3 people, and those 3 people I still talk to all the time. So it's like, why even have this extra step in here?
Right.
It's like, you guys got my number. Call me. You want to go fishing? Let's go.
Right.
Kick in some gas money. Bring your food, drink. Or whatever else you desire.
Whatever makes you happy on the water.
And then we'll just drop anchor, throw some lines out, kick back, maybe listen to some tunes. Bullshit. Just have a good time.
Makes me want to go fishing right now. Shut this bitch off. All right, man. Thank you for your service and thank you for your time, sir.
Yeah, dude. Thanks for coming on the show. We really appreciate it. Thanks. Nice to meet you, man. Yeah.
All right, everybody, go to Facebook right now. Follow Trolling with the Troops. Hit up their website if you guys want to help out. Send them an email. Let them know what you guys, want to help out or whatever, and do it. All right.
If you guys like what you hear,
help you out.
Yeah. If you guys like what you hear, give us a like on Facebook or social media, whatever it is that we're on now, and help us out because we'll be doing this a lot longer if it's up to us. So. We're trying to get the word out for every good man, trying to get the word out for every other good man. So,
yep, we'll be posting the podcast on Trolling with the Troops so more people
will
know what's going on. And just again, say thanks to all the sponsors for Trolling with the Troops and the board members that take a lot of load off of me.
Well, hopefully this thing keeps growing, dude.
I hope.
Hopefully. All right, everybody. We'll talk to you next week. Alright everybody, that is it. As always, thank you so much for listening, and thank you to Scott Mann for taking the time to come and talk to us. It was an awesome time. Don't forget, next week we're going to be sitting down with my brother Bobby and his studio with the last episode before Sober October begins. So I think you guys can already guess where this one's going to go. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be a great time. So make sure that you guys tune in next week to listen to that one. Also, there's going to be a video with that. I don't think it's going to be a live video, but I think we're going to upload it to our YouTube page after the fact. So if you guys want to see our ugly radio faces, you can go to YouTube and check that out too. So we'll let you guys know. Check out our Facebook page. That's where you guys can get all that information at Racks, Fur, and Feathers. Look us up on Twitter at RFF Podcast. You can check us out on Instagram, Racks, Fur, and Feathers. Or if you guys want to shoot us an email, send it to racksfurandfeathers@gmail.com. As always, all music and artwork is done by the Shane Yoder from PutThemInASong.com, and we will talk to you guys next week. Later, everybody.